Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out all the articles and podcasts. And we ask you to please share those on social media because we are dealing with the same censorship that everyone else is. So if you share those articles and podcasts, it helps us a great deal. We're going to be talking a lot about social media censorship tonight with our guest, Jeff Dornick, who is recently suspended and banned from Twitter. Jeff is the founder of GatekeepersOnline.com, a podcaster, and along with Dr. Bobby Lopez is the founder of Cancel Proof Christianity. We've had Jeff on before, and he's always a great guest, so we look forward to hearing what he has to say. And we're going to hear his own story of being banned off of Twitter. Of course, it happened to Rob and I about a year ago from now. Of course, after the January 6th incident, Rob and I were both suspended from Twitter. We lost our accounts. I had around 80,000 followers. Rob had around 80,000 as well. And they took us both out. A year later, I'd have to say it's been for the best for me. I don't miss it one bit. But Rob, how are you doing tonight? And how are you doing no longer on Twitter? Do you miss it?
Well, I'll start by saying I don't miss it. Then I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We're glad to have our guest on, Jeff, who, as you said, has been on with us before. But just going back to your opening, I don't miss being off of Twitter. I have other important things to do. I do think that Twitter has its purpose. You can promote ideas, but at the same time, it's a cesspool of a bunch of craziness from the left. When you said that we've been off for almost about a year now, I think back at that time, and I often wonder, what exactly did I do? What happened? What did I say? So I went and I looked at all my tweets. I'm like, I didn't use any profanity. I wasn't attacking anyone. I wasn't being belligerent. Now, of course, during my time on Twitter, I was attacked by bots or unknown people with fake avatars. I was sent pornography. Everything under the sun that allegedly broke the rules of Twitter happened to me. But those individuals, they're still there. They're still progressing and they're still talking their nonsense and attacking other people. But I was shut down simply because I think the last tweet that I tweeted was making reference to Nancy Pelosi. And I said that Joe Biden has to call her out if he's going to call out, I think, then at the time, President Trump, because she was promoting violence when she said that people should be out in the streets protesting. They should not comply with the laws, and that he should call out Maxine Waters, who was saying, get in their face and say that you're not welcome. Create a circle around these people. That was my sin. So it makes you wonder, what exactly did Jeff do to get suspended, permanently banned? And that's what happened to me. I was permanently banned. Now, I just learned the other day that Marjorie Taylor was also permanently banned, not her main Senate account, but her personal account, because she was saying something about COVID that they didn't like. Dr. Robert Malone, who did the study for MRA, he got kicked off also because he didn't like what he was saying. And if you put up any tweet that's contrary to what Dr. Fauci is saying, you're subject to get bounced also, because it has to be only one voice in unison supporting what Dr. Fauci is saying. And if you say anything to the contrary, that's going to hurt his feelings or anyone on the left, because they have very soft feelings, you're going to get bounced. Now, a lot of people were saying, hooray, 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 when they found out that the founder of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, was stepping down. I wasn't, because I knew that the person who was coming in behind him was probably even worse. And if you look at some of the tweets that he had tweeted, you'll see that it's no better. But what they have, these folks in social media, is that they have the power to control the dissemination of information, which is very dangerous. at times I say that Congress should step in and regulate them. And then at other times I'm like, no, do we really want them regulating? Because once they put their hands on it, they'll want to touch everything. But I will say this, Andrew, something has to be done because they become too large, too powerful, and too dangerous. Twitter, Facebook, and Google, when they're able to suppress information that they don't want out there, that's extremely dangerous. Now, if you go to China, oh, China will tell them to roll over, they'll roll over. China will say, let me rub your belly. They'll say, okay, rub my belly. But when it comes to Americans, when it comes to America, the country that has allowed them to grow as large as they have, allowed them to fatten their bank accounts, they turn their back on Americans and say, basically, screw you. It's our way or the highway. Shame, shame, shame. Jeff, how are you? Tell us your story.
Yeah, I'm doing very good. It's been interesting. I've been kicked off of Twitter probably about a month now, and it's definitely been a different experience because I've been on Twitter pretty consistently for the last few years, but now all of a sudden I'm like, I've got a lot more time to do important things instead of sitting there on Twitter. So it's been a very interesting month or so of not being on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, I said the same thing. I'm like, I freeze up my time. I can do other things. Now, again, you know, it was a good medium for you to promote different ideas and to promote other things. But then when you step back and you look at it, you're like, gosh, I don't miss this at all. I mean, I look at Andrew and I mean, we, as he said, we had like 80,000 followers between the two of us. 80,000. And I guess, well, you know, when I look at it, I'm thinking, wow, my little voice was that powerful that they were threatened and intimidated by it? I mean, this is like 80,000 compared to some other people who have like millions. But my little voice, my truth, that's what it was. And not my truth, but the truth. And then putting back in their faces things that they had said, they did not like it, and they had to shut it down. And as we've said before, like you said also with Dr. Bobby Lopez, is that we on the right have got to come up with other ways of putting out our information. That was just a wake-up call for us, that you cannot be dependent upon them. And as the Bible tells us, I think it was in the Old Testament, don't go down into Egypt looking for help, because you're not going to get it. And if you do get it, look out, because then they're in control and they could cut you off and shut you down whenever they want to. So Jeff, tell us what exactly happened. What was the infraction that they created, or did they even tell you why they suspended you permanently?
Yeah, so they suspended me permanently for a podcast actually that I did. You know, it was really interesting. I mean, I think I've only had a temporary suspension once, and it was for, you know, COVID misinformation and all that kind of stuff. And after that, I had been pretty careful about some of the stuff that I had been posting. And then I would slowly get more bold, more brash as I realized, okay, they're not censoring me now. Maybe they're not caring about all this too much, all that much, right? So then I did a show with Jimmy Lee Tillman, who's a Black conservative out of I believe the Chicago area, and we had a conversation on my podcast about why the Black community is so hesitant to get the vaccine. And he brought up that it's the same CDC today that is rolling out all these experiments and experimentation on the American people while lying with them. And it's the same CDC that did the exact same strategy specifically with Black men with the Tuskegee experiments. And so it was a very interesting conversation, very interesting parallel that I hadn't thought about before. And so so I posted that show. And then I ended up getting an email randomly out of the blue saying that your account has been suspended for COVID-19 misinformation. And what's been interesting is I've been talking to some of my friends and who have been kicked off before. And they said, well, you know, was there a button where you could appeal it? And I said, no. And they were shocked because a lot of them had, you know, they were able to appeal it. They were always denied, but at least they had the opportunity to try to make their case. I didn't even get that opportunity. There was nowhere for me to appeal, no contact, no anything. They just said, you're done. Immediately, there was some secondary account that I had created like forever ago that I haven't posted anything to in years. And they immediately shut that one down and said I was trying to evade their Twitter suspension. And I'm like, I haven't even logged into that thing in like 3 years. So I thought that was really interesting. And then I'll just throw this one more aspect out there as well. I don't know if you saw, but my good friend Matt Couch was also permanently suspended from Twitter. And the funny thing is about Matt Couch, who, you know, he runs the DC Patriot and all that kind of stuff. Well, he ended up getting permanently suspended for, again, sharing one of my episodes of my podcast. And he ended up sharing an episode where I interviewed Dr. Zelenko. And Dr. Zelenko obviously made some pretty inflammatory things, saying that the COVID-19 vaccines are the poison death shot, and that, you know, talking about massive depopulation and all this kind of stuff. And so he shared that with just the title of the show, and Twitter permanently suspended him for sharing my podcast. So I don't know what's going on over there at Twitter. Why Twitter doesn't like me? I mean, I haven't posted anything false. I haven't posted anything negative. All I've done is legitimately pull information and pull data from CDC, from the CDC website, from VAERS, from the FDA. I read the Pfizer reports. I read the FDA reports. I read all that kind of stuff, and then I share it. And then I have interesting conversations with guys like Jimmy Lee Tillman, it literally explaining why the Black community is not getting vaccinated at a rate compared to the white community. And I get suspended for that one as well. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Interesting. And what was the name of your guest? You said the Black guy who came on, you guys were having this conversation.
Yeah, his name is Jimmy Lee Tillman. He's run for Congress before out of Illinois. It was the second time I've had him on my show.
Right. Now, you should know, Jeff, that when you have a Black person who's out speaking truth, they don't like that. And when he's speaking the truth to a white man, the person whom they perceive as being the oppressor, they definitely don't like that. Now, their reason for suspending you, they were probably watching your account for some time and was probably already baked into the cake to do it. But in their eyes, whomever the kids were that decided to do it, oh, this just justifies it because we've got to shut it down. Again, I look at myself. Like, what did I see that was so inflammatory? Just me.
Right. It's for being
one small person. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, we all know it's because that we are conservatives on that app. And Jeff can probably relate to this. What's really bad about being suspended is you don't really miss the interactions on it so much, but you do get a lot of engagement on the app, perhaps more than you do any other social media platform. So in a lot of ways, it is a necessary evil. And then you have Jeff, who's got Cancel Proof Christianity, who he's launching and getting going. It makes things tough to be suspended from Twitter, does it not, Jeff?
Yeah, it. I mean, so here's the thing. I would say yes, but then again, kind of no. And I'll explain it. And I'll explain it this way. So the problem is that Twitter, through their algorithms, they've already kind of deplatformed conservatives in general. When you think about it, yes, in general, we were able to still be on the platform. But what they've done through their algorithms, they put us in our own little algorithmic bubbles to where we only communicate with people that totally agree with us. I can't tell you the last time that I've actually had somebody on Twitter that actually disagreed with me, because everybody that sees my stuff are people that agree with me ideologically. So I was already kind of neutered on Twitter, and in general, conservatives we've been pushed off to the side in our own little bubbles, and we've been kept out of the general conversation that everybody on the left and the establishment Republicans are having. That, you know, they're not in their own little algorithmic bubbles, but we were. So when you think about it, to a certain degree, yes, it sucks because we're not able to get our voice out there. But at the same time, I would make the argument that I actually have more of a voice over on Getter now than anywhere else. And it's specifically because they do not have algorithms. And so on Twitter, I used to have to post and you'd share it into one of their DM rooms and then people retweet it. And that's how you get your message out there. It's how you get your videos seen, all that kind of stuff. On Getter, there is none of that. You literally just post and it goes out, and I'm getting more engagement on Getter than I ever was on Twitter because there's no algorithms. It's the way that Twitter used to be way back in the day when everybody fell in love with it, and then they had to go and ruin it so that way they can control narratives and push propaganda and all that kind of stuff.
Well, see, that's interesting, because if their algorithm has you only engaging with like-minded individuals, why would they want to pull the plug? Doesn't make any sense. Why are you pulling the plug? If no one else is seeing what I'm putting out there, why do you want to pull the plug? Why wouldn't you just say, okay, let them say what they want to say. Our algorithm will keep them in their little silo whereby they won't offend anyone. No one can see it. So why would you want to pull the plug?
Because there's a specific strategy in order to divide us. Because they know that as soon as they kick off somebody of any kind of influence off of Twitter, they know that we will pick one of the alternative social media sites to be our primary. It may be Gab, maybe Getter, maybe MeWe, maybe Clout Hub, might be any one of those, right? But from that point now, that now dilutes our influence. Unless you're like an Alex Jones or somebody that kind of supersedes all of these different platforms. Legitimately, what they do is they in their mind, they're diluting your influence and making it to where a lot of the people that used to follow you, now they don't know where to find you. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to get the information from you. And then if they can divide us and all of a sudden now it's more difficult for us to communicate. It's more difficult for us to coordinate. It's more difficult for us to, you know, organize and come together to do rallies or protests or events or anything along those lines. And so, yes, to a certain degree, they neutered us already on Twitter, which you know, really limited our voice. But at the same time, by kicking us off of Twitter, to a certain degree, they are deleting us from public society. And I think that there's a specific reason for that, and the specific reason is to dilute our influence as much as they possibly can.
Which definitely seems what they're doing. And they've been successful. Like you said, there are other sites that are there, like Getter. I'm on Getter. There's Gab. And then there's Cloud Hub. But people are, but some of them seem like little silos, just repeating things over and over again. But as I said at the top of the hour, and I hope that people will take note, is that we have got to create our own platforms to tell our stories that are out there and stop giving them so much power. Because if the algorithm only has us in a silo whereby we're only speaking to or only people of like minds are seeing it, why would they be offended? But Jeff, you just explained why they would be offended and why they would be threatened. Because they don't want us there at all. They want to eradicate us completely.
Yeah, it's a great point, Rob. And Jeff, you can comment on this. Do you guys think that if... maybe President Trump or some of these other people, Marjorie Taylor Greene, really get behind one of these social media platforms like Getter or something like that, even liberals will start jumping on just so they can communicate with Trump and other conservatives, because it'll seem like the place to be. Right now, I think Gab and Getter and the other places are missing that.
It's possible. I would argue that more than likely they're not going to jump over, because Trump's coming out with Truth Social. Marjorie Taylor Greene is very prominent, especially on Getter. It seems like a lot of the mainstream conservatives are jumping over to Getter. I mean, I even saw Joe Rogan just join because Dr. Malone told him that's where he is. So the reality of it, though, is I think what they've realized is that if they can get us off of Twitter, they, you know, then we're all diluted and jumped and divided among all these different alternative platforms. I don't think you're going to get the left wing journalists to jump over to Getter or Truth Social or Gab or wherever Trump ends up, which again is going to be Truth Social. But I can't see them jumping over, because all of a sudden now that will give them legitimacy, and then it will take away the very censorship and deplatforming that Twitter just did, and takes the power away from big tech. So I think what they're going to do instead is they're going to, at the very least, create just small little accounts, just that way they can see what they're saying, but they're not actually going to engage, specifically because they don't want to give credibility to, in their mind, a white supremacist, false information, vaccine denying, anti-leftist platform like Getter or Gab or Truth Social. So it would give them legitimacy that they would not want to give us.
All great points. And Rob, it seems like the future of social media is, from what Jeff's saying and what we're gathering, is people like Republicans will stay on their platforms, Getter, Gab, whatnot, and liberals will stay on Twitter and Facebook. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing that people are going to basically be forced to switch over to other social media platforms and not all under the same umbrella? I mean, conservatives have basically been forced to branch out to other platforms at this point.
Face value, I would say, hooray, hooray. You stay on your side, I stay on my side. But overall, I don't think it's a good idea, because then we're creating silos. We're separating ourselves, and that will create an even deeper wedge. Civility has got to come back. We have to be able to respect each other, our differences, our thought process. You might not agree with me. I probably don't agree with you. But if you don't agree right now, the way it is that if you don't agree with the left, you're automatically just, you're a racist. They want to discard you. They want to completely, as I said, eradicate you. They don't want you into existence. And that is because of the progressive wing that has taken over, the progressive socialist wing that has taken over the Democrat Party. And I've heard so many people to come on this show and say, my parents were Democrats. They were the JFK Democrats, whatever that means. Well, I didn't know. But as I'm told now, that if JFK were around, people would look at him and say, oh, he's a Republican, if there's any truth to that. But the Democrats have become so radicalized and so hateful, I mean, just keeping it in simple terms, that they don't want the right to exist. So with them, if we were to break off in little silos, you're here and they're there, they would welcome that. But for the sake of the country, that's not what our forefathers wanted. And that's not who we are as civilized human beings. We should be able to agree, to disagree respectfully. Now, it's not always easy, but we have to do it. We've got to learn to do it. But some of the ideas that are coming from the left, I shake my head. And it's not to say that the right has all of the ideas all the time. But then, too, we are on the right side. What do you say, Jeff?
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. And I think there's an interesting aspect here as well of looking at our constitutional rights of free speech and freedom of the press. And especially I want to hone in on the freedom of the press, because when you look at the founding of our country, the press, it wasn't all about these big multinational corporations that were running the press. It was a random farmer who felt compelled to print a bunch of pamphlets and distribute them in his local town. And I think that that's to a certain degree what they're taking away by deplatforming conservatives from these platforms, is they're taking away our freedom of the press. You know, and I think we have to get down to definitions, what that meant and all of that. Like, we all have a right of the freedom of the press. That's not just that. That doesn't mean that it's just, oh, that means that Fox News, they can say whatever they want. No, it means that we have the right to disseminate our information and our beliefs, you know, and spread them far and wide. And they're essentially taking that away from us. And it's actually quite effective, because if they can take us out of the public sphere and push us off onto our own alternative social medias, yes, the extremely conservative people will jump over to Getter, will jump over to Gab, will jump over to MeWe and all these other places. But then you'll have all the left, and then you'll have the middle of the road moderate Republicans. So you're still looking at 70 to 80% of Americans are still going to be on Facebook and Twitter. And then it's the far right. And when I say far right, I'm meaning the very strong conservatives that are getting kicked off and being pushed off to the side. Now, where is that fight over middle America? Because that's where all the swing votes come from, right? That's the thing. They're giving a monopoly of information to the left, and they're very effective. They were very effective during this last election. And I know this because I'm talking to my friends out here in communist California about the issues. They are not hearing anything. They had no clue that there was a scandal about Hunter Biden, and they had no idea why Donald Trump would bring it up during the debates. Why? Because big tech did not allow them to see that information. I'm seeing the same thing now with COVID-19 and the vaccines. You know, I'll talk to my friends and say, did you see the CDC report on this, or the FDA report on this, or the VAERS report, or what Pfizer admitted saying X, Y, and Z? And they're like, no, I didn't see that. Well, it's because people like myself are getting kicked off, and we're not allowed to share this information. And you're giving a monopoly to the people that are in the pocketbooks of Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and the FDA and the CDC. This is the danger of kicking off one ideology, is that now all of a sudden there's not a robust conversation, a robust debate, and people are not actually able to get the information to be able to see whether it's true or not.
Yeah, well said, Jeff. And just recently, YouTube has removed the Joe Rogan interviews of both Dr. Malone as well as Dr. Peter McCullough, who you can find here on America Out Loud on a weekly basis. You guys definitely want to look into his stuff. The censorship just seems to be getting worse, and we'll continue to talk about that in our second half. You guys are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from our guest, Jeff Dornick, on After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11. A patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL. And use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, with the new year upon us, time flies when you're with people you love. Cheers to another year together, my fellow Americans, and thank you for being part of the journey. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of 2022 is upon us. Happy New Year, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and our guest tonight is Jeff Dornick. And we were having a rather interesting conversation at the top of the hour about social media, in particular Twitter, and how Jeff, myself, and Andrew have been permanently banned from the social media site. Andrew posed a question: is it a good thing that the left has its own social media site, and now the right is trying to do the same thing? And as you notice, we, you know, at face value, we said, oh, it sounds good. But in doing so, the flow of information, the way it should be, is not out there. And one of the things that Jeff pointed out is that the whole thing with Hunter Biden, how some of his friends in California were completely clueless as to why Trump was bringing it up. Hunter Biden and the laptop. Since then, Miranda Devine, the Post, has written a book about it, The Laptop from Hell, and still a lot of people are oblivious as to what it involves. They know nothing about Hunter Biden and his dealings with the Chinese government, the Ukrainians, nothing about him being a convicted felon, not supposed to have a gun, but he did, nothing about, I mean, that's true white privilege. They're clueless to it. Fast forward, the vaccine. We spoke about this last night, Andrew and I, when the whole thing hit the ceiling over states' rights versus the federal government. And Trump was saying, we're going to allow the states to take this on and to distribute the testings for the individuals that have the virus. And the left had a conniption. Oh, no, it should be the federal government. And he said, no, it should be states. People were completely unaware of the fact that in the Constitution, the states have the right to govern their individual states. Fast forward to today, what does Biden say? well, we're going to push this off to the states because it's the state's responsibility. Quiet as it's kept, the media said nothing about it. That is information that people, you would think they would know the Constitution and would look it up, but they don't, because they're relying on the media. And unfortunately, the media has become extremely biased. They're the propaganda arm for the Democrat Party. And if they don't approve of it, it won't get out there. Look at Jan 6. Look at the propaganda that they're pushing on Jan 6. No one is saying anything about during the Supreme Court hearings, how they had women to go to the Senate area and camp out so that they could not vote for Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh. How they had women going to the doors of the Supreme Court, clawing at the doors. Now, if that wasn't a spectacle, that should not have happened. But quiet as it's kept, if you were to bring that up in a regular conversation, people would go, oh, well, wasn't that something that Trump did? No, it was by the Democrats. Spring and summer of 2020, the riots. No, they weren't protests. They were riots. Police stations were burned down. Police cars were burned. They wanted police inside the cars. All around us, complete chaos. Look at the violence today at an all-time high because of defund the police. But what will the left say? Oh, no, that's because of the Republicans, because they didn't want to give the police money. But when you look at it closely, you don't even have to look at it closely. It's happening in blue states. Who's at the top? Liberal governors and mayors. And let me just break it down even more, because that's how the left likes to do it, by identity politics. The mayors of Chicago, a Black woman. San Francisco, a Black woman. All Democrats. Baltimore, Atlanta, DC, Black women. But we're told, oh, the Black women, they are the future. They can get things done. Now, I'm not trying to take a slight swipe at Black women, but this is what we were told that would make things better. Let's put them in power and all this will go away. It hasn't gone away. It seems to be increasing. Let's move away from the Black women. Look at New York City. Before 2022, who was the mayor for 8 years? A communist, de Blasio, who claimed that, oh, everything is perfect here. The city is just blooming and it's blossoming and people want to come here. New York City has lost more residents. And where did they go? To Florida. But wait, Florida is a red state. Why would they go to Florida? Because they were saying that DeSantis doesn't know what he's doing with COVID. COVID that's killing us all. COVID that the media enjoyed talking about nonstop and saying that Trump was killing all these people because he didn't have a plan, because he wasn't sending testing kits to the states. The testing kits that Biden, as I said, is now saying it's the responsibility of the states. But if you don't have an alternative news that's going to report the truth, if you have a biased media and social media along with them, they're keeping stories that are out that are important. People don't know about it. Let's go down even further. The vaccine. Andrew and I, we talked about it in depth. Biden told us that if you get the vaccine, you won't have to worry about the virus. Both vaccines, you'll be fine. You can move on. You can live your life. They even said that you could take off the mask. But now they're telling us that, unfortunately, yeah, you need the vaccine. And not only the vaccine, but you need the booster. What? Now, as I shared with you last night, I just found out that I tested positive for COVID. And you know what? I took both vaccines back in March of 2021. I took it because I had an underlying condition, which is now in remission. But I spoke with my healthcare provider and we felt that, okay, this is the best course of action. So I took it, only to find out in November that after taking it, within 6 weeks' time of each vaccine, it's out of your system. So there I was, just an open candidate for COVID. And even if I had taken the booster, I don't think that would have protected me any, because as I said to you on one of our shows, that even with taking both vaccines, I didn't feel any safer than anyone who didn't take the vaccine. What happened? Joe clearly said that if you take the vaccine, you don't have to worry about the virus. What the heck happened? I can't figure it out. Was he lying? Was he not being truthful? And if that's the case, why isn't the media reporting on it? Well, they're not going to report on it because they don't want you to know that he said it. So here I am, both vaccines, yet and still, I tested positive. I have no symptoms. I'm perfectly fine. My son also tested positive, and his cousin, they're both 8. They're fine. Now, initially, they had a low-grade fever, but they were up and playing, celebrating Christmas. But, and I want to add this, the cousin, his cousin, who's 8, had taken the first shot because he couldn't get into school if he did it. And he still got the virus. I am not poo-pooing the vaccine, because if you're of a certain age, you have an underlying condition, you should definitely take it. I took it and I still got it. But as I said, remember, Joel told us that
you're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
I didn't say it. Joe said it. You're not going to get COVID. Yet and still, I got COVID. Jeff, how do you explain that? I know that you're not a doctor, but I think you can share your story also.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had COVID actually over Christmas, and so it was, you know, I'm not vaccinated. I've been very anti vaccine since the very beginning. In fact, I was talking with a guy who's a former CIA guy who told me in April of 2020, he's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know what's going on with this virus that's going around and all that kind of stuff. But he's like, let me just tell you something. I can see the writing on the wall. This is all pushing towards a worldwide vaccine and probably going to have worldwide vaccine mandates. And he's like, none of this virus stuff with COVID-19 will end until everybody gets vaccinated. Their goal is to get every single man, woman, and child vaccinated with this thing. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to be taking it on that one. And then as I dive more and more into the science, I was like, yeah, no, not going to do that. So I had COVID over Christmas. Ended up having 2 days of a migraine. I had a low fever at the highest I think it ever got was 100.7. And then I had a lingering cough after the fact. Even now, I'm still have a somewhat of a lingering cough. My wife and I have both tested negative for COVID since. We're totally in the clear. But the interesting thing about all of this kind of stuff when it comes to vaccines, when it comes to COVID and all that, is that as we would tell our friends and family, yeah, you know what, you know, we tested positive, here's our symptoms, here's what's going on. Their first question was, well, which vaccine did you get? I was like, well, we didn't take it. And they're like, oh, see, that's where you were wrong, because if you had taken it, you wouldn't have as bad of symptoms. And I'm like, no, first of all, where's the data on that? Let's dive into that. And they could never back it up. But everybody keeps thinking, well, if you get it in spite of being vaccinated, your symptoms will be less. You have a less likely chance to die, less likely chance to go to the hospital. But if you're not vaccinated and you get it, oh my gosh, you're going to die. That's legitimately how the conversations were going with all of friends and family. And so, you know, I said, well, actually, I'm pretty confident, because when I talked to my doctor about getting the vaccine, her exact words were, and I'm going to somewhat, soften this a little bit, but her words were, F no, you're not going to take this thing, because all you have to do, you have to build up your immune system. Here's the supplements that I want you to be on. And then if you get COVID-19, I'm not really concerned. What you'll do is you'll take, I'm not giving anybody advice on what you should take, but this is from my doctor. This is the regimen that I myself was on. It was melatonin, quercetin, chaga, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and vitamin A. That's what I was on. And I had 2 days of symptoms, and I'm not vaccinated. And one of the things that she said is, she said, oftentimes what ends up happening is the majority of people are low in a lot of these supplements. And what we see is that when they test very high with these supplements inside of your body, you actually fight COVID-19 very, very well. And this is what my doctor said. So I followed my doctor's advice, got over it in 2 days. We were totally good. And here's the reality. And I'll sum it all up with this. We have been bashed into our heads, you have to get vaccinated or you're going to die. If you look at the statistics, and I just went over this the other day, According to the data from the CDC, you have an 8% chance of contracting COVID-19 just by being live in America. 8% chance. Well, when you look at the NBA and the NFL, do you know at what rate they are contracting COVID-19? 30% of NBA players right now are out on COVID protocols.
Yeah, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, and all 12 of their players have caught COVID during the season this year already.
Yeah, it's insane. And so I actually did the numbers. Did you know that they are contracting COVID-19 at a rate 45 times higher than the general population, yet they're all vaccinated? What does that tell you? That tells you, number one, the vaccines don't stop you from getting COVID, and quite possibly the vaccines are actually making you more likely to contract COVID-19. And, right. and so when we're looking at this, there are certain ways you can prevent it. There are certain ways, supplementation, that you can do in order to treat it and make sure that your body is most effective at fighting off COVID-19. And looking at the data, you have a way more than 99% chance of not dying from COVID-19 simply by being alive. And according to Dr. McCullough on Joe Rogan's podcast, that the vast majority of the people who died from COVID-19 died because of a lack of treatment early on and waiting until it got out of control before they went to the emergency room. Everybody is so terrified of COVID-19 that they are running to get, as Dr. Zelenko calls it, the poison death shot. And it's all based on a lie. It's been very frustrating to see. And this is somebody who just got over COVID himself.
And that is a reason why we need more than one news outlet, a social media outlet, that's reporting and talking about this stuff. Because as I've said from the day one, this is all by design. This whole mandate, it has nothing to do with we want to make you better, we want to protect you. It more so has to do with Joe Biden being able to check off the box and say, look at what I did. He and Dr. Fauci could care nothing for our well-being. Because if they did, Dr. Fauci would step down because he's causing more harm than good with his fear-mongering. I want to see if we can keep people from flying if they don't take the vaccine. If you don't take the vaccine, you can't go to work. Why? Why are you pushing this on us? As I said, I was vaxxed twice and I still got it. No symptoms. No, I thought as I would kid around with Andrew and said that, you know, my blood type is O positive, so maybe I won't get it because they're saying that if you're O positive, a lot of them have not been getting it. And for all I know, the positive was probably a false positive. But yet and still, they are pushing this. And if you challenge them on it, Jeff, they will shut you down. They will remove you from Twitter. They will kick you off Facebook. They will remove you from YouTube because they don't want anyone to go against Dr. Fraud, also known as Dr. Fauci. They don't want that. It has to be groupthink. You can't independently look at this and say, wait, if we're going to follow the science, this just doesn't make any sense. And Joe Biden clearly told us, I played the tape, and I'm going to keep playing the tape. And I'm going to go get the tape from the newscaster that said, don't fear this whole thing with COVID-19 because it's nothing but like the common cold. But the moment they sat down and realized that we could gain control, we can manipulate them by manipulating science and get them to do what we want them to do. And if they don't do it, we will shut down their livelihood. If these companies don't demand that their staffers take this vaccine, they're going to be without a job. As I said, look at the military. They kicked out 200 soldiers. And then to find out that Lloyd Austin, who's been vaxxed twice and had the booster, has COVID-19. Go figure. No, didn't someone tell him that you're not supposed to get COVID-19? According to Joe, if you get the vax, you're fine. But then they changed it. Oh, you might get it, but your symptoms won't be as severe. I don't believe that. I know people right today that have been vaxxed, had COVID twice, and each time the symptoms were horrible. I also know individuals who've been vaxxed and got it twice. They had no symptoms. Why won't they tell us the truth? Why is it that we should all hang our hats on the vaccine. And now the mean scientist, Dr. Fauci, is looking at there might be a fourth vaccine on the horizon. So just get ready to give us your arms. And as far as your children, oh, they're going to take it also, because if they don't, they can't participate in extracurricular activities. Why are they lying to us? And because they don't have anything that's definitive, of course people are going to push back. Of course people are going to say, oh, I wouldn't take it. I took it. Why did I get the virus? Can anyone answer that?
I don't think they can. Jeff's statistics were very eye-opening, and it's pretty much where I'm at with this virus as well at the current point in time in the vaccine. When I first heard about the vaccine, I was never interested in getting it, but I was like, okay, maybe older people can get it. Maybe people shut up about this virus and it won't be shoved down our throat so much. Then the more that we're seeing, I just don't think that this thing has been working whatsoever. If anything, it's had negative effects. You look at more people have died in 2021 than died in 2020. So I've lost all confidence in the vaccine. And I think the majority of the people who are not vaccinated, who feel good and still are going, feel the same way. Jeff, what are your thoughts on liberals who think it's some kind of checkmate when they say that, oh, look at what President Trump's saying about the vaccine? They just don't understand that people are free thinkers. And even though we might like Trump, that doesn't mean that we are going to listen to every single thing he has to say, like he's our dad or something.
Yeah, it's been interesting, too, because I've had a few people tell me that you're only anti-vax because Trump's anti-vax. I'm like, actually, no, Trump's been pushing the vaccine since day one. I mean, you know, he's never come out anti-vax. He's been pro medical freedom, which is great. But he's been very pro vaccine from the very beginning. It's a difficult situation with the whole Trump situation, just because he is still actively promoting it. But to me, this should be a testament. This is what we as conservatives should be touting left and right, is that this shows we're not just blind sheep following our leader. No, we disagree with Trump because we're following the science. We're following the data. We believe that Donald Trump is wrong when it comes to the vaccines. And so we're not going to comply. We're not going to go along with it just because Trump says so. And to me, this should actually give us a lot more credibility moving forward. The fact that we are separating from Trump when it comes to the vaccines, and it shows, no, we are ideological. We are following the science. We are following the truth. And we're not just going to do something just because Trump says it. So I think that's a very important thing that I think we really need to hone in on.
I agree completely that we are following the science, something that the left is not doing. And what I find interesting, as Andrew said, is that you have individuals, when it first came out that he was saying, yes, I've been vaccinated and I've had the booster. Oh my God, what is he saying? And I don't trust him. And it's like, no, this shows that we're not groupthink. And remember, Operation Warp Speed is what's got us the vaccine. Because if you think back, everyone on the left, including Dr. Fauci, and we've got to mention the lovely Joy Reid, although she's not lovely, I don't think. They all came out and said, it's impossible. When he said, oh, we're going to have this vaccine within a matter of time. Oh, it's impossible. And they laughed about it and they poo-pooed on it. I will find the tape and I will play it for you guys. They all said that it was impossible. You had doctors that were saying, oh, we don't know. He's lying again. What is he talking about? That's like 5 years off. All the while they were saying, all these people are going to die because of Trump. They're all going to die. When he gathered Big Pharma in the Rose Garden, and he said, this is what we're working on, this is what we're going to do. When he gathered all of those top corporation CEOs and said, we're going to all work together, and we're going to mass produce masks, and we're going to do all this other stuff. The left poo-pooed it and said, it's impossible. When Operation Warp Speed started to produce, quiet as it's kept, Big Pharma didn't want to say anything about it. They wanted to wait until after the election so that Joe Biden could run in and say, oh, look at what I did. But mind you, Joe Biden and Kamala said that if Trump is behind it, we wouldn't take the vaccine. We wouldn't trust the vaccine. No way. But after President Biden took office, he wanted to say, oh, let's take the vaccine. And we're going to make certain that everyone takes it. And this is our timeline. And when they realized that it wasn't happening, as always, blame Trump. It's Trump supporters who aren't taking it. They don't want to take this vaccine. What's wrong with them? Are they crazy? But what do you care? You don't like them anyway. And something that you had said during the first half of the show, Jeff, about Blacks not taking the vaccine. Now, again, as quiet as it's kept, because they don't want to hone in on that segment of the population and say that, well, you know, a lot of Blacks aren't taking it either. Now, I'm Black. I took it. And I told you why. Underlying condition, which is in remission, thank God. But then there are others that don't want to take it. And I understand why. Because as you said, Jeff, as you reminded everyone, the Tuskegee experiment, the CDC, oh, we're just going to treat them. We're just going to run a little test. All the while, they were shooting these Black men up with syphilis. And it lasts for years, quiet as it was kept. So now you want them to trust you? And who was doing it? It happened under the Democrats. But no, they like Black people. It's the right. They don't like Black people. Black people need to wake up. The writing is on the wall. You see it for yourselves. Don't be deceived. It is time to stop it now. Now, I'm not saying that all at once, every Black person is going to just jump up and say, oh, we're going to vote for the right, although you should, but I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we cannot be so easily deceived by what the left is saying, the propaganda. We have to wake up and look at the history. No, everyone on the right, they're not perfect little angels, but I will guarantee you this. When you look at history and you look at where you were, where you want to go, where you came from, you have more people on the right trying to push you forward than trying to put the knee on your neck and force you to do something that you don't want to do. Mandates. They want to take away your livelihood, your ability to earn money, to support your family, because you won't bend the knee to them. As a result, they're going to put that knee on your neck and they're going to keep it there. And no matter how many times you wiggle and say, please, please take it off, I'm a free thinker, they're going to keep it there. Because they want you to acquiesce to their will. They want you to give in so that they can say, look, we helped you. It was for your best interest. Never mind that you're a free man and you can think for yourself. No, we don't want any of that. We want you to think our way. Do what we want you to do. How wrong is that? And then if you don't do it, they're going to use scare tactics, take away your livelihood. Only in America we ever think that we would get to this point. And as I said, Lloyd Austin, all three vaccines, but he's at the top kicking out soldiers that don't want to take it. How can he possibly explain that? What is he going to say? Well, I'll tell you, the media will just move right over it. Nothing to see here, just like the 13 soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan. Nothing to see here, just like the border that's busting at the seams. Nothing to see here, just like the crime that we see is around us. Nothing to see here. Just like Biden said, if you take the vaccines, you'll be okay, but you're still getting sick. Nothing to see here. They'll just move on and on and on. That is the reason why we have to have our voices out there. Although they want to shut our voices down, we need it there because we have got to say, hey, look at this. We hear what they're saying, but compare the two. Look at it logically and by all means, follow the science. So Jeff, you and your wife, you said that you're both okay now.
Yeah. We're both doing okay. My wife had symptoms for about 2 days. I had symptoms for the 2 days following that. And we both been good.
So are you going to run out now, Jeff, and get the vaccine?
Absolutely not. And here's the interesting thing is that the only people that I know that have contracted COVID-19 twice are the vaccinated. None of my friends. Yeah. That are not vaccinated have gotten COVID-19 twice. Only those that are vaccinated. And when I'm diving into the science, it's actually interesting because what it's actually doing is if you've already had COVID-19 and then you get vaccinated, it wipes out all the natural immunity that you have and replaces it with synthetic. The synthetic only lasts for anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months, depending on the person that you talk to, right? So you're essentially wiping your slate clean of your immunity every time you get a new booster. So now you're opening yourselves up to get COVID-19 again and again and again. So it's an interesting tidbit of info.
And I don't think people realize that because you're suppressing your immune system when you get these vaccines. And they're not telling you that, but you have to follow the science. You've got to look at it. And something else that I've noticed, like you said, the people that have gotten it twice are those individuals who have already gotten the vaccine, that they're getting COVID. But yet and still, you have the left saying, oh, it's the unvaccinated. They're making us all sick. I don't think so, because when I look at this, it seems to me that it's those individuals who have gotten the vaccine with their suppressed immune system that's giving it to other people. But they will not tell you that. They will deny it. Even if the science were to be written out in front of them, they would say, no, 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 it's not us, it's them. But how is it? Like I said, I know people who have had the virus and the vaccine, and they're getting it again. People who are forever so careful, don't touch me, don't breathe on me, and you better put your mask on. They're getting the virus. But quiet as it's kept, it's the unvaccinated. I mean, I'm beginning to think that the unvaccinated are the smartest people out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. In my family, my mom is the only one of the five of us to be vaccinated, and she's the only one who's caught COVID so far. So I don't know. It just seems like it's trending that direction. People who are vaccinated are actually more likely to catch COVID than if you're not vaccinated. And as far as getting COVID a second time, Peter McCullough had a very interesting discussion with Joe Rogan about that. You can check that out over at Rumble, since it has now been deleted off of YouTube. Jeff, we started off the show talking about social media censorship. Obviously, people can't find you on Twitter anymore. What's the best places people could go to find out more about you and Cancel Proof Christianity?
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate it. So I'm on all the alternative social medias, what, you know, Clout Hub, MeWe, Parler, Gab, Getter. The one I'm trying to be most interactive with is Getter. I'm treating that as my replacement to Twitter. And then also, I've actually just recently launched my own website, jeffdornick.com, and I'm posting all of my shows there. I'm writing articles. I'm trying to write at least one or two a day over there at jeffdornick.com. And then I'm also going to begin live streaming exclusively on my website. So I'm, you know, you'll still find my video content on Rumble and Clout Hub and the audio and Apple Podcasts, but the live stream will be actually at jeffdornick.com. So you guys can check out my show every single day at 3 o'clock Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So the best place to find me, jeffdornick.com.
Fantastic. This was a great conversation. Thank you for joining us, Jeff. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You'll find tons of great podcasts and articles over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can find our full archive of shows. Just click the drop-down menu and click After Dark. And you can find us on iHeartRadio Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 in the West. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.